Your names?
Brian Ward.
Jesse Zarley.
What brings you outside on North Capitol Street by Union Station today?
Well, as we saw yesterday, they rammed through the bill in Wisconsin, which would get rid of the collective bargaining rights for public sector workers, and we need to stand up against this attack against public workers and all workers around the country at Wisconsin, in Michigan, in Indiana, Providence, Rhode Island, etc. So,
where are you guys from?
I'm from Rhinelander, Wisconsin, which is a little town of 8,000 in northern Wisconsin. And I mean, like, part of the reason why I'm here is also what Brian said, but also that for like 3 weeks, working people and students, teachers, EMTs, nurses, firefighters across the state of Wisconsin have been fighting basically for their lives. You know, fighting against the cuts to collective bargaining, but also cuts to health care and pensions, you know, an end to domestic partnerships, which was won through non-wage collective bargaining, fighting against, you know, the privatization of subsidized state heating plants. I mean, all manner of disgusting attacks. And I just hear now that the Wisconsin wants to introduce a copycat bill to Arizona's SB 1070. So it's like Wisconsin's really kind of the epicenter of like the fight for the future of working people in this country. And I think that showing our solidarity is so important. In addition to knowing tons of people who are teachers and nurses in my hometown and across the state, you know, I think that it's just a fight that we got to be a part of.
Brian, you're from Wisconsin also?
Yeah, I'm originally from Madison, Wisconsin, actually. So, and my aunt's a teacher there, and her activist nephew she's been talking to recently because she's protesting the first time in her life. You know, it's inspiring. These people who have been taking it for 30 years are actually standing up and saying, hey, we're not going to take this. And this is an example of what the rest of the country can see, that there is a way to fight back. You don't have to just sit and take these cuts and say it's part of a budget. It's not part of a budget crisis. It's a manufactured crisis in which Walker gives tax breaks to corporations, but it seems to be okay to tell workers to tighten their belt.
Explain that a little further.
Well, I mean, one of the first thing that Walker did when he came as governor was give two corporate tax breaks for $117 million total. The budget gap right now, $137 million. So, I mean, the reality is he manufactured that crisis. He made a conscious choice to say, I'm going to give breaks to corporations in this state, but I'm going to ask workers to reduce their pensions, take away their collective bargaining rights, and pay more into their health care. So, I mean, it clearly wasn't a budget issue. It was a priorities that he had, and an ideological priority that Scott Walker has.
And by making the collective bargain, I mean, we knew for all along that his goal really was to bust the unions and to basically privatize anything he could in the state. But, like, by taking the collective bargaining aspect and saying it's non-financial, and that's how they passed it, because you can have quorum is different, it actually shows that he's not even interested in balancing or actually closing that gap. It's actually basically a ploy, like Brian said, to be able to bust the unions. And it's, like, not only collective bargaining, it's, like, the right to, you know, automatic dues, dues deduction. And also, it's like, I think that he's acting as though it's all about wages, but it's like also collective bargaining is about grievances and workplace safety and like nurses and firefighters. Do you want people who are like taking care of you in the hospital worrying about unsafe work conditions with no recourse to that? You know, I think that it's just ludicrous. And also, you know, a study showed recently that in Wisconsin there are like $1.3 billion in corporate loopholes. And it's like, it's ludicrous to think that working people in Wisconsin should tighten their belts when they're already losing their homes. I mean, they're full-time teachers on food stamps, you know, and it's ludicrous to say that working people have to tighten their belts when banks and corporations and the wealthiest folks in this country are doing pretty darn well and getting richer. And also, it's like, even there was an article that said that the governor of Minnesota's, to balance their or to close their budget gap, is proposing an increased tax on the wealthy people in the state of Minnesota. So it's like, there are alternatives to what he's doing.
Did Scott Walker run on the issue that he would do away with collective bargaining?
Well, he said we should have all known that we were in a coma if we didn't notice. I mean, that's what he tried. I mean, like, his actions as the county executive or the city executive in Milwaukee. I mean, like, and he did things like that, and then it was thrown out because it was shown to be illegal. I mean, he certainly didn't run on this, but I think the speed at which he did it shows that he's been planning this all along. And I actually think the speed that he did it, being in office for less than 2 months, shows that this is actually, like, Wisconsin's a test case, you know, for the GOP, for also the Tea Party, to see if they can ram this through there, then they're going to try it elsewhere.
What about the phone call from allegedly from David Koch? Hey, Scott. Can you talk about that call?
Well, I mean, I think that was very clear in where Walker's interest was just listening to that phone call. Of course, it wasn't, like, as malicious as maybe someone would think. But, I mean, David Koch acted like, oh, have you thought about planting people into, like, the protesters and everything? He's like, oh, yeah, we've thought about that, but it's not going to work. It's just, like, it's very clear on where his interests are. It's like these millionaires and billionaires of David Koch and the Koch brothers, which, were his largest donor to his campaign and have been bankrolling the Tea Party movement. It just shows, once again, like, it's an ideological priorities that he is manufacturing. It's not like, it's like, oh, my interests are for the state. No, his interests lie with the Koch brothers, the Tea Party, and the wealthy in this country. And he's not going to stand up to them unless we stand up to Walker and stand up to the Koch brothers and say, hey, you guys have to start paying your part. I saw this quote. Why is a 5% tax increase on the rich called socialism when a 14% wage reduction on workers is called doing your part? You know, it's like really tells you what the difference of how the debate is run in this country.
We stand outside of this solidarity protest in D.C. where you guys live. You also headed back to Wisconsin not too long ago. Talk about what you experienced at the state capitol.
Sure. I mean, it was incredibly inspiring. One of the almost scariest but most exciting moments of my life. In that, you know, I talk to people who are like, I'll lose my home if this goes through. You know, not only will I my husband or my wife is out of work. I can't if what effectively is at least a 12% wage cut if you include all the cuts that he's trying to push through. And also, by the way, shredding Medicare and low-income health insurance. That people are going to lose their homes, people are going to lose their jobs. I mean, it's going to destroy communities, and that sense was very much palpable in the people you met. But at the same time, there was a sense that it's like, if we don't fight now, we'll lose it all. Like a very fighting spirit. And actually, it was very interesting. I spoke to one public worker, you know, several of them, and one was like, we gave up the right to strike in order to get the collective bargaining agreement. Now they're taking the collective bargaining agreement. Well, does that mean we have to strike? And I think it's like, I think that there's like a fighting spirit and a recognition that, like, you know, the Democratic Party and I think a lot of the leadership in the unions are willing to want to compromise away and focus on the recall Walker. So I'm fine with recalling Walker. But it's like, I heard that $2 million have been raised for that campaign. That money should be going to a strike fund. I mean, it's like, I think that we've seen that rallies are super important, but what really pushed the initial protest over the hump was when the teachers sicked out and actually did a job action. And I think it's going to take stuff like that to win. And I think, like, the head of the fire department or the chief of the Madison fire department said that he'd support a general strike, which I think is incredible. But basically my experience in the Capitol was like, it was like, you know, seeing students saying, you know, people who are like poli-sci majors being like, you know, some people who you might have written off when you were in college who are saying like, you know what, I've stayed in this Capitol for 7 days because this is about rich corporations and millionaires against working people. This is class war, and I'm staying till we win. I'm standing with my teachers. I'm standing with the nurses. I'm standing with people. And just like, I think there's like a sense that it's like working people, it's not a bad thing to be a union member anymore. You're not like the boogeyman that the Tea Party and, like, you know, the media have made you out to be for so long. And I think that that's a big shift in where people are thinking and people's mood in this country, which I think you can't put that genie back in the bottle even if we lose in Wisconsin.
Ryan, what are your thoughts on getting back?
Well, I mean, Jesse covered some of the political components really well. I think also just to take away from like the Capitol is showing the way that people collectively organize and work together. Like, I mean, the reality that people from around the world and around the country were donating food to maintain this occupation, and it was extremely inspiring. Like words of solidarity from the Egyptian workers from Tahrir Square, and I mean Tunisia and all 50 states in the country was simply amazing. And the fact that it wasn't just students in the Capitol, it was firefighters, it was teachers, it was students. I mean, and the very fact that like there's a free food section, there was a study section, like where like this was run by people. There was no like union leader saying this is how we should do it. It's just like it was organic, and that was an extremely inspirational thing to me. Is like how this kind of situation can make a debate flourish, and as well as just people thinking outside the box, thinking what is possible, and thinking 10 steps ahead of where we are.
the local pizza joint got orders from all over the world, including from Haiti.
Yeah, and Santa Antarctica, dozens of guys. It was incredible. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
Great pizza.
Yeah. pizza.
Michael Moore showed up a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Are you guys, any chance he might go back?
I'm not gonna be able to go back. I want to.
I have spring break in a week and a half. If there's still a fight going on, I'm thinking about going back.
And Brian, I saw you outside the nurses' strike and then lockout at the Washington Hospital Center, and they were talking about Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah.
And you mentioned Egypt. It's interesting how Wisconsin followed Egypt, but this is really, as you're saying, Jesse, maybe opened up something which is hard to put back in, not just in Wisconsin, but it has implications beyond.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I spoke to a nurse on the picket line at the nurses' strike. She's been working at the hospital for 28 years, and I asked her, what do you think, Wisconsin's situation right now has to do with you guys, and has it encouraged people to think a little bit more about what is possible? And she's just like, I think what happens there will determine what happens here, and that shows the importance of Wisconsin right now, and that everyone is looking to it. I mean, the energy at that picket line, I'm not sure would be as high if there wasn't this fight back in Wisconsin, and showing that in this country where we've seen the labor movement as this sleeping giant, not realizing its power, is I feel like it's being awakened, and so we're going to be, I think, going to be seeing more strikes and more demonstrations by rank and file workers, and that's the key. It's the union leaders might not be calling for this, but Jesse said, it was the teacher sickens that did it, the rank and file teachers that went in and started the movement in Wisconsin. So
any final thoughts you guys want to share?
I think actually the Washington Hospital Center and National Nurses United Nurses, I think they showed the way. I think that, like I said earlier, we got to hit Walker and Coke and their backers in their pocketbooks. You know, I think it's like if it's boycotting and demonstrating and solidarity demos, but I think that there's discussions of whether or not there's going to be job action in the state. And I think that really has to happen, because it's like a recall takes so much time, and once it's passed already, you know, I mean, to re-win collective bargaining, it's just I think the time to fight is now. And I think that it's not only that Wisconsin is inspiring people, but generally the fact that obviously what's going on in North Africa and the Middle East isn't the same as what's going on here, but the fact that the idea of revolution and throwing off 30-year-old dictators, you know, US-backed dictators by people, you know, people in the Muslim world, and then you know how Muslims are, right now they're being scapegoated like crazy in hearings on Capitol Hill in a disgusting fashion. The fact that people in Wisconsin, white people in Wisconsin who have been fed nothing but Islamophobia for a decade, are we identify with the Egyptians throwing off their dictator, walk like an Egyptian. People with signs that said Ben Ali, 20 years, gone. Mubarak, you know, 30 years, gone. Walker, you're next. It's just incredible. And we saw that Gaddafi signs that at the National Nurses Union picket. People who recognize that there are dictators out there, and now the dictator's gonna be beaten. You know, and I think it's just incredible. And I think that I think it's a watershed moment in this country. It's like I don't know if Wisconsin will win or not. I hope it will. But I think that you can't go back to the way it was, where I think there are two sides in the fight now. It's not just one side, it's not just corporations and the wealthy beating down on working people. It's actually there's an alternative now.
I just noticed, Jesse, your hat. You got a Green Bay Packers hat on.
Never thought that this would have significance in mass working class struggle. You know, and members of the Packers, former members and current members, have come out in solidarity, Charles Woodson. And also the players are involved in their own labor dispute with the NFL owners, you know, the NFLPA. And actually at the nurses' strike, there was a representative who came to give solidarity to the nurses. And I think I think there's a sense that it's the kind of an injury to one is an injury to all, the old wobbly phrase. I think that working people across the board are coming under attack, and I think now is the time to fight, and now's the time for solidarity. And I think it's so clear when it's us versus the bankers or us versus the wealthy. You know, I think that it's much clearer now than it has been, and I think people are waking up to that, which is really awesome.
And the statements coming from some of the Green Bay Packers players have been impressive. Can you talk about what's unique about the team?
Yeah, I mean, it's the only publicly owned team in like sports in this country. I mean, it's like there isn't an owner. It's not for profit. You know, it can't just move if it wants to. It can't like take, you know, it can't get like hundreds of millions of dollars to hijack taxpayer dollars to build a new stadium. And I think that means something. I think it's very much owned by the people of Wisconsin. And I think that there's a sense that can't be replicated. But wouldn't that be great if it could be? Like, why shouldn't fans who foot the bills, you know, who go to the events, who love the teams, who watch the players, have some say in how that's run and have like some ownership over the team beyond what some idiot like, you know, Dan Snyder or whomever, some idiot who wants to just make money off of a team. I think that's really unique, and I think it's exciting that the Packers win in the Super Bowl and like the working people of Wisconsin fighting and like seeing that had come together.
It's been a good few I've never seen
so many like sports signs or paraphernalia in a demonstration in my life as I did during that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing is like Jesse mentioned how like the Packers model can't really be replicated because the NFL like actually says that it can't be replicated, and so it's in the rules now because they don't want this happening because they want it to be continue to be a profit making organization. But just in general, I think what we're seeing now at this crossroads, just to emphasize what Jesse said earlier, is that like demonstrations are great, like pickets like by like people that are able to come out are great, but we need to start hitting Walker, like the Washington Hospital Center, the MedStar. We need to start hitting it where it hurts, their pocketbook, and only by strike and actions such as that, mass actions like that, will actually affect that. And I think we're coming to a crossroads. Like, okay, we've had 100,000 people at the Capitol. That didn't force Walker to come to a compromise. What's next? And what's next, logically, is a strike. And whether it's illegal or not in the United States, you can't technically have a general strike yet. We haven't heard talk of it in 50 years. But the reality is that what Walker has done is illegal. Like, I mean, like things that he has done is illegal. And so when push comes to shove, we have to fight back in these terms. And I think strike is the next logical thing. And hopefully we'll start seeing that instead of all the money going to the recall effort, which I agree with. You know, recall Walker, recall all of them. But like, let's go on strike. Let's stop it now. Yeah. Let's not wait until next year's election. So, yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks.